Well, let's take a look back at our text in Genesis chapter number 35. I want to draw your attention to one verse that we find this evening, and we'll make our way a little bit through the life of Jacob tonight. Genesis chapter number 35 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel." Some time ago, somebody came to me and we were talking about our testimonies, how we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and the effects that God taking up residence in our lives had on our lives. And as I was speaking to this person, I began to tell them how awesome it was. Man, when I first got saved, God changed everything in my life. And aren't you glad once you get saved, God changes everything. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we began to talk about how God took up residence in our lives and changed our lives. And God did a great work in our lives. And I remember bowing down that day when I was 14 years old and getting saved there at that youth conference, and how God changed everything. I got up from that youth conference, from that altar place, knowing that God did a work in me. It changed my life. I went to the other members of the youth group. "Hey, guess what? What do you want, Kevin? Hey, I got saved today. Hey, that's wonderful. That's great." And we all congratulated me. And it was a wonderful time. And going home, you know the story. My mom looked at me and she said, "Who are you and what did you do with my real son?" God changed my life. And we were talking about it, having a good old holy fit about what God did in our lives. And then the Lord convicted me. Because as we were talking, I was talking about, yeah, I used to carry a bunch of tracts with me every day when I went to school. And I have a stack of those Chick tracts, and I'd pass them out in the hallway, you know, there in the high school, in the middle school. And you know, I used to read my Bible through in a year, and I used to. And the Lord convicted me when I kept using that word, "I used to." What about now? I've been saved for over 20 years now. God is still good. I'm still saved. Amen. But why is it that I used to do those things, but I struggle to do them now? Here we find this place in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, by the name of Bethel. And most of you know that that word Bethel, that place Bethel, means house of God. And when Jacob, in chapter number 28, he was talking with God, you might recall that he was there. This is where he saw Jacob's ladder, where he had the dream. And God said to him that he was going to carry forth the promise that he gave to Abraham and Isaac. This is the place where he met with God. This is a place where God spoke to him. And he woke up from his dream and said, "This is a wonderful place. This place is the house of God." Bethel represents a place where we meet God. God said to him, "Hey, Jacob, I want you to go back to that place. I want you to go back to the house of God. I want you to commune with me. I want you to fellowship with me. I want you to talk with me. I want you to go back to Bethel." Bethel is a wonderful place. And sometimes we get very, very busy in our lives. And there's been times in our life, Christian life sometimes can be like a roller coaster. And I love roller coasters. They're so much fun. But it goes up and down and all around and sometimes turns your stomach inside out. As the Christian life goes up in ups and downs, we have ebbs and flows in our Christian life. But I wonder how long it's been tonight since we've been at a place where we communed with God in a special way, where we were at the house of God, where we were at Bethel. You find tonight, just by way of introduction, that Bethel was a desirable destination. You think about it. Bethel was a historical place. All the way back in Genesis chapter 12, we find that Abram was there. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Later in the chapter, in verse number 8, it says, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on his west and High on his east. And there he builded an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." You think about this place of Bethel, the place that represents the presence of God. There was Abram back in Genesis chapter number 12. And back in Genesis chapter number 12, he was meeting with God way back then. You ever have a good season in your Christian life where you can speak to God and where you can commune with God and where you can pray and you feel like your prayers are getting answered, and when you can come to God and you know that you've met with the Lord? This is a place that Bethel was, and Abram found that place in Genesis chapter number 12. You think about times in your life where the Lord has really spoken unto you. Several times I go down Center Street and I go past the old building and I think to myself, what some great memories came from that place. started with my buddy Arthur chucking rocks through pastor's office windows there. You remember, some of you? And we would go there, and man, I got in a bit of trouble, Brother Andy. We would go and lift up the windshield wipers of people's cars and things like that. Wasn't me, you know? And we would get ourselves in a little bit of trouble. We'd run around the place, but man, what a great place it was. Over there on Center Street, I remember coming on that old white bus with the green stripe down the side. I mean, the thing backfiring all the way down the street. And then they'd come up to my house, and somebody would run up to the door and said, "Hey, you coming to church today?" I remember distinctly one time, Brother Jeff, he came and knocked on my door. "Are you coming to church today?" I had just gotten a new video game, and I said I wasn't ready. He said, "I'm going around the block. You make sure that you're ready when I come around." I said, "Okay." Came to church with bedhead, ready to go. Great memories. I think about a great place. It was a place where I heard the gospel time in and time again. Coming to junior church, many of you will remember Frank Cuzzo. He used to be the preacher in junior church, an intimidating, large Italian man preaching to a bunch of kids. I remember what a great time and what a great place. And you know, God did something in my life at that old place. But you know what? We may not be at that place anymore. Now we're out here, but God goes to all those places. We have a God that is with us. It is a historical place, this place of Bethel. Not only was it a historical place, but we find out that it was a higher place. Geographically speaking, Bethel was a place that was higher than the places around it. It was 11 miles north of Jerusalem. It was about 10 miles south of Shechem. And we find that the elevation from sea level was higher than most of the places around it. It's a higher place. But you ever think about your relationship with God, your walk with God? You remember the Bible says in Psalm 61, verse number 2, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I." Many of you in this room under the sound of my voice have been through things. You've been through difficulties. You've been through trials. You've been through heartache. You've been through loss. You've been through diagnosis. And you realize that sometimes we go up and down in our Christian life, but we always know that God that we have, the God of Bethel, the house of God, we can go to that place that is higher than I. This place of Bethel, it was a historic place. This place of Bethel, it was a higher place. I'm reminded that this place of Bethel was also a helping place. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 28, "And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first." We think about this place of Bethel as a place where Jacob went to get help. Now, how many of you know today that the presence of God is a great help? Obviously, that's the understatement of the century, amen? But we can go to God. He's not only Bethel wasn't only a historical place, it wasn't only a higher place, but it was a place that we could receive help. Then there's another thing here, just by way of introduction, Bethel was also a holy place. Genesis chapter number 28, verse number 16 says this, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." We find that Jacob had made his way to Bethel. It was a place that was a historical place. It was a helping place. It was a higher place. It became a holy place, a place where he was able to meet with God, a place where he was able to get the help that he needed, a place that he was able to get the promises from God. And we all need to get back to that place where we're close with God, where we can seek his face, where we can get the help that we need, where we can get into his presence and get closer to him. Listen, somebody asked me the other day, they said, if you could teach somebody one thing about the Christian life, what would it be? It would be this. I would teach them to walk closely with God. Because everything else in the Christian life is a byproduct of walking closely with the Lord. We need to get back to Bethel. In Jacob's life, he found the place of Bethel all the way back in Genesis chapter number 28. He said again that he was going to go back to Bethel, the land of his fathers. But just like Jacob, in many of our lives, there are detours and there are distractions. We find that from Genesis chapter number 28 all the way to Genesis chapter number 35, that 20 whole years passed by before he got back to where he was supposed to be. 20 years is a long time. A lot of things happened in Jacob's life over 20 years. We find that Jacob got very, very busy. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 28, verse number 5, "And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, unto Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother." The Bible says in Genesis 29, verse number 1, that Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. What happened in Jacob's life? Yes, I'm supposed to go back to that house of God. I'm supposed to go back to Bethel, but Jacob got busy. How many of you have ever been busy in your schedule in your life? Yes? We've got schedules. Sometimes I get notifications on my phone about the schedule that I've got to go meet somebody so I can schedule some more things. A schedule about a schedule. We get so busy. Jacob got himself a job. He got work. He had schedules, and we got things. And he was supposed to be heading back to this place of Bethel. He was supposed to be heading back to the house of God. He was supposed to be heading back to the place where he can meet with God, where he can settle down, and he can serve the Lord at that place. But like so many of us, he got really, really busy. And he pushed it off to the side. He put it on the back burner. He got busy. We find out that he gets work, he gets wives, he gets wealth. Jacob got big. We find that his family grew, that his money, his finances grew. Genesis chapter 29, you don't have to read it now. Genesis chapter 30, Jacob gets very, very busy. Jacob gets really, really big. He's got a lot going on in his life, and he's kind of put going back to Bethel on the back burner. He's kind of put going back to Bethel. He says, "I'll do it another time," and he's making his way there slowly, but he's very, very busy, and he is very, very wealthy, and he's got a lot going on. We find out, going through the life of Jacob, that he's very busy. He gets very big and he gets very burdened. In chapter number 33, as he's making his way down there, we find that he takes a short stop in Shechem. Chapter 33 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jacob came to Shechem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, which he came from Padan-Aram, and pitched his tent before the city." Maybe it was in his mind, "Hey, I'm going back to Bethel, I'm getting there," and he stops in Shechem. Shechem is only about a day's journey from Bethel. But perhaps he stopped in Shechem and he realized, you know what, this is a good place for my family to be. This is a good place for my kids to grow up. This is a good place. You see, Shechem was a place that was a center of trade. Shechem was a place where there was a lot of business going on. And you know, in the flesh mind's eye, in logic, we could say this place of Shechem is a good place to stay. This place of Shechem is a good place to raise a family. And it might be a good place, but it is not the place that God chose for them. Sometimes we settle for what is good rather than what is the best. We settle for what is good than going for what is the best. Jacob stopped there at Shechem, and we find he made a short stop there, but then we find a sad story in Genesis chapter number 34 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house.'" You see, while they were there in the land of Shechem, Dinah, his daughter was defiled, and these things started to happen, and now the brothers went out and they killed some of the Shechemites, and now the Shechemites did not like Jacob. This thing happened while Jacob was in a detour. He should have been at Bethel, but he was at Shechem. Tonight, I want us to go back to Bethel. There's no place like Bethel. There's all the cares of this world. There's schedules that we have. There's appointments that we have. There's burdens and there's trials that we go through. But there's no place like walking with the Lord. There's no place like talking with God. There's no place like reading His Word and Him speaking to you and you speaking to Him. There's no place like Bethel tonight. So tonight, let's go back to Bethel and experience the Lord in a real way. Let's get back closer to God as we consider the topic tonight. There's no place like Bethel. Let's pray together, may we? Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your goodness. Thank You again for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd take me and that You'd help me, fill me with Your Spirit, Lord, and help us, Lord, to glean from Your Word today handfuls of purpose. I pray, Lord, that You'd work in us, that You'd guide us, and that You'd be glorified in everything that we say and do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We find about Bethel a desirable presence. If you look, please, in our text, Genesis chapter number 35 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there." This is an amazing truth to me. You think about this for just a moment. It wasn't just that Jacob wanted to go to Bethel. Watch this now. God wanted Jacob to come to Bethel. You realize again tonight, this is a huge truth. It's a mind-blowing truth that the God of the universe, the one who spoke the world into existence, the one that used his words to create the universe, the one who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, the one who's all-powerful, the one who's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. This is the God that we have. That very God has made a way for you and for me to talk to him, to fellowship with him, to commune with him. That is the God that we have. And I want you to know tonight, he wants to commune with you. Look at the Bible says again in verse number 1 of chapter number 35. It says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there." We find that God wanted Jacob to commune with him. What an amazing truth that we have. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 11. "Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." John chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." I want you to catch this tonight, that the God of the universe wants to commune with you and me. He wants you to come by. He wants you to stay a little while. He wants to commune with you and me. Not only does God want Jacob to commune with him, but God wanted Jacob to continue with him. Look at chapter 35 and verse number 1 again. The Bible says again, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel," and watch this now, "and dwell there." I like this. "And dwell there." He says, I don't want you to just come for a little bit and then leave. I want you to live here. I want you to stay a little while. I want you to live here. I want you to live in Bethel. I want you where you can come anytime that you want. You know, I don't want you just to sample it. I don't want you just to get a little taste of it, but I want you to live here. How many of you like going to the food court at the mall? Anybody? Will you walk into the, you know me, I preach a lot and talk a lot about food. Amen. So we go into the mall, the food court, and you walk in to the left there, there's Shake Shack. Ooh, that's good stuff right there. There are shakes. There's that salad place that nobody really cares about. I don't know how they last there. Salad's the reminder that real food is available somewhere else. The salad place is over there. You've got Chipotle, Glory. You've got that, what's that, the pizza place, Sbarro, is that how you pronounce it? A real good, I like pizza that's the size of the face. You know, that's a good place to be, okay? Then you've got Häagen-Dazs. They make a mean chocolate milkshake. Amen. There's two milkshake places. That's good. And then, glory to God, they've got the Chick-fil-A over on the right that we visit all the time. We scan our points. Man, I'm one of the top members that you can have on the app. Amen, Lincoln. I'm like one of the top people. Like, I scan there so many times. The people at the Stewart Chick-fil-A, they see me come and they're like, "You want this, that, and the other thing." They know because I go there a lot. But inevitably, at every food court, especially pre-COVID, you had that little lady out there from the Chinatown or from some Asian food place, and she held a plate of chicken. You know, once a bus kid, always a bus kid, right? So there's free food over there. So I go by, and I get one, and I'm like, oh, this is great. I'll sample it, and then I'll take another lap. And I'll get another one. There's been a time I was at the mall with my sister-in-law, and there was a lady holding out there the teriyaki chicken, and I got one, and I said, "Peyton, you want some chicken?" She goes, "No." "All right, go get me some chicken, okay?" Here's the problem. you get a taste of it. Man, that chicken that they have is so good. I love that. It's salty. It's got that teriyaki sauce dripping off. Oh, goodness gracious, we're going to have revival here tonight. Okay. But you sample it, and it's so good. But then you just go on your way. When you have the opportunity, you could just go up to the counter and get a whole plate of that stuff. I mean, the fried rice, you know what I'm talking about? You get the two proteins on that thing and they dump it on there. This is good stuff I'm talking about. But here's what I'm coming to. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? A lot of Christians live their life like they like to sample. They like to come to church and they get a little taste. Oh, that's real good. They like to come to Wednesday night and they get a little sample of what it is to be close to God. And maybe they go to youth conference and they get a sample of what it's like. They taste it. They get a taste of it. But you have an opportunity. You can get so much more than just a sample. You can get so much more than just a taste. Don't just get the sample. Get the whole plate. Get everything that God has for you. And I'm just simply saying tonight, you can get what God has for you at Bethel. It was a desirable presence. God wanted Jacob to commune with him. God wanted Jacob to continue with him. I love what the Bible says in Psalm 74 and verse number 4. It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." We want to walk with the Lord for all the days of our life. We want to run our race. We want to finish our course. And it's a good place to do that at Bethel with God and being close to God. It is a desirable presence. But secondly, tonight, very, very quickly, there was a devoted preparation. A devoted preparation. Look, please, if you would, in verse number 2 of chapter 35, the Bible says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went." We find here that Jacob is going to prepare to go to Bethel. Sometimes it's a good idea to prepare to go talk to God. You say, what do you mean? Look at what they did here. There's an appeal, the Bible says. Jacob says to his family, listen, we're going back to Bethel. We're going back to that place where we walked with God, back to that place where we served God, back to that place where we could praise God and worship God. We're going back to the house of God. And listen, we can't go like we are right now. The Bible says that it was 20 years from the time that Jacob said, I'm going back to Bethel, to the time he actually got up and went to Bethel. And over that 20 years, you can imagine he and his family, they gained a lot of things that they probably shouldn't have. They had a lot of things. The Bible says they had strange gods, foreign gods. And Jacob said, you know what? Enough of that. We need to get rid of these things. And he said, here's the appeal. You need to bring these things so we can get rid of them, these strange gods and these idols. And I'm reminded that sometimes when we go to God, it's a good idea to have a good season of confession. It's a good idea to tell God everything that's on our mind and on our heart. I'm reminded what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I'm reminded what the Bible says in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we come into God's presence, it's a good idea to take an inventory of things. Maybe there's some things in your life and my life that ought not be there. Maybe there's some thoughts that we think that shouldn't be there, some things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. It's a good time to take those things and cast them aside, put them under the blood. It's a good idea to appeal to 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He was prepared to go back. That's a wonderful thing. When we sometimes step out of the way, that all it takes is a step in the right direction. I remember traveling for my college, and I was the group leader. That was a big mistake. But I was able to visit a lot of places traveling with my group there with the college, and one of the places we got to go was Yellowstone National Park, a beautiful, beautiful national park. They have signs when you go hiking all over the place, stay on the path. Stay on the path. Don't go over the fence. And so I look at the sign, and I'm like, oh, that's neat. and I hopped the fence. There was one time in particular, it almost got me in very big trouble. You see, at Yellowstone National Park, they have something that they call a small Grand Canyon. It's this huge canyon. There's a waterfall at one end of it, and then it just keeps going down the way. It is a gorgeous piece of property to look at. And there they have signs all over the place. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. And you know, my buddies and I, part of that singing group, we hopped the fence because we wanted to get a really neat photo op. That's an interesting fact. Has nothing to do with the message, but the number one cause of death at national parks is people dying because they want to get a cool picture. So we hopped the fence, making our way down to the waterfall. They get there all safe. They're all ready to take a picture. And then here comes clumsy me. I slip and start sliding, and I can't stop. No es bueno. My life starts flashing before my eyes. I'm grabbing onto stuff, roots, trying to stop my way. Thankfully, I was able to stop, you know, several feet before the, you know, falling in and everything. But the fact remains, I should have stayed on the path. Maybe you're here tonight and you've gotten off the path a little bit. You're here tonight, you're in the right place. But all you have to do is turn around and get back on the path. God wants us to come back to Him. God's not looking to squash you out. He's not looking to get rid of you. God desires your fellowship. God desires your communion. God desires, like we sang this morning as Andy preached such a good message, nothing between my soul and the Savior. God wants you to come back to Him. God wants your fellowship. Let's go back to Bethel. It was a devoted preparation. Thirdly tonight, very quickly, not only a devoted preparation, but there was a decision to pursue. You have the appeal, and now you have the action. Somebody said the farthest distance that we have to go is between what we know to do and actually doing it. I know when Marcella brings in Jupiter donuts that I shouldn't have a fifth one. But I do anyway. When the ladies have their ladies' Bible study and they bring in all these carbs and all these sweet things, my mind, you can ask the staff around here, I know I shouldn't do it, but what do? I take some and then I give some to Brother Andy. I know in my mind that I should do it, and sometimes, or I shouldn't do it, and I do it anyway. The thing that's significant about this is that Jacob and his family, they knew they needed to go back to Bethel, but you know something happened, they actually did it. So many times in our lives, we decide that I'm going to do something right for the Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to read my Bible more. I've decided to read my Bible more. I decided I'm going to pray more. I decided I want to be a better soul winner. I decided I want to have a better marriage and I want to walk with the Lord more. We think that in our mind, but somehow there is a disconnect between what we've decided and actually doing it. I know I need to stop eating so many donuts, and maybe it'd be a good idea to run sometimes. I know that, but do I always do it? No. But in our Christian life, they knew that they needed to go back to this place where God was represented, the house of God. They knew that, and then we actually see them do it. Look, please, at chapter 35 and verse number 4. The Bible says this. This is good stuff, all right? And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Verse number 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So here's what was going on here. Let me fill you in. They were going back to Bethel, and because of everything that happened in Shechem, everybody wanted to kill Jacob, but God was protecting them because he was being obedient. So here's what's going on. They're actually doing what God told them to do. Okay, sometimes we get that disconnect between what we know to do and actually doing it. And we need to just do what God tells us to do instead of waiting to do it, instead of procrastinating to do it. We need to go ahead and just go and do what God already tells us to do. So they get up. I remember in Bible college, we were at missions conference. The preacher came. He did a great job. The Lord really worked in me. I remember on one of the nights of the missions conference that the Lord was being very clear with me and putting on my heart, my brother Paul, you need to go and you need to write a letter to Paul explaining how he can be saved. I don't know why it was a letter. I don't know why the Lord just prompted me. Write Paul a letter how he could be saved and send it to him. I remember going to the altar. It was on the preacher's right. And I knelt down at the altar and said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll go ahead and do it. I'll write that letter. I'll put a gospel track in it. I'll tell my brother how he could be saved. I even distinctly remember going up to the preacher afterwards. Hey, the Lord spoke to me during your message, and I'm going to write my brother a letter how he could get saved. I went back to the dorm that evening. Distraction. Homework. Ping pong. I didn't write the letter that night. The next day came, and I knew, man, I need to get down, and I need to sit down and write that letter to my brother, and I need to send that gospel tract to him, and I need to make sure that he knows, at least again, how he can be saved. And that day came, and I thought about writing the letter, but I had to go to class. I had to go to work. I had to go to practice. I had everything else that I had to do, and day after day came, go ahead and write that letter. Write that letter to your brother. He needs to hear how he can be saved again. And I knew in my mind that I needed to write that letter, but guess what? That day never came. I never wrote that letter to him. Many of you know that just up the road here on Indiantown Road, up by Philadelphia Avenue, you'll see a sign there that says, Drive Safely in Memorial Paul Besall on that sign. I'm telling you tonight, I knew what I should have done, but I never got the chance to. I never did it. I kept putting it off. Jacob, praise the Lord, and his family got it right. They knew what they should do, and then they actually did it. We got to get past this thing where we know it in our heads, and we got to get it in our hearts, and then get it in our hands. We actually have to do what God tells us to do. Thank the Lord. They got up. They gave away all their idols. They got rid of everything that was in their life that shouldn't be there. And they decided to get there to Bethel. And lastly tonight, very quickly, the Bible, or the fourth thing tonight is not only do we have here in our story tonight a desirable presence, a devoted preparation, a decision to pursue, but lastly tonight, a destination of promise. I love this. The Bible says in verse number 9, look at it please if you would, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him, and God said to him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name, and he called his name Israel, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and the king shall come out of thy loins. We find that Jacob and his family made it back to Bethel. Bethel is the place to be. Listen, sometimes we walk in this world and we get away from the Lord. We're not as close with the Lord as we ought to be, but there's always the chance that you have today. And really, you can take a step back in the right direction. Maybe you're close. Maybe you're around Bethel like Jacob was. He was only a day's journey away from Bethel. He was in Shechem, just north of Bethel. He started walking in the right direction, and eventually we find that his family got there. And we're finding in our word, in God's word tonight, and that he's beckoning for us to come unto him. He's knocking and he wants to come in. And maybe you're here away from the Lord tonight. You can go back to Bethel. You can be restored. You can be reconciled, and you can come back to fellowship with God tonight. We find that as Jacob got to Bethel, there was a lot of changes. We find that Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. If you remember, Jacob's name was called deceiver. Jacob's name was meant supplanter. He was a person that was up to no good. He was up to tricks. He tricked a lot of people. But his name got changed when he got with God from Jacob to Israel. Of course, Israel means triumphant with God. He was somebody that got his name changed. And let me tell you here tonight, once you get back close with God, once you walk with the Lord, things start changing again. Your worldview, you start to think about God more, and you start to filter everything that goes on through God and his word. That's what happens when you get back to Bethel. There's changes that are good in your Christian life. There was change when we find there was confirmation. In verse number 12, the Bible says, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and thy seed after thee will I give the land. The promises kept flowing. Jacob got back to Bethel. It was a long trip, 20 years in the making, but he finally got there. And once he shared his obedience and he was obedient to the Lord started blessing even more. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in Shechem. You're close, but the Lord desires for you to come closer. Take the step. The hardest step is the first one. Take the first step. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. As we decide to draw nigh to God, wouldn't you know it, God decides to draw nigh to us. That's a wonderful, wonderful, not just a promise, but it's a fact that we find in Scripture. Maybe you're here tonight and you've talked about it. You know, I need to be a better soul winner. Amen. You know, I need to read my Bible more. Absolutely. I need to pray more. Yes, you're thinking, I'm going to get into that ministry. Maybe you're here tonight and you've said you have lots of good intentions. There's lots of things you would like to do. There's lots of things that you think you want to do. But right now, it's just in your mind. You've said it. Why don't you take that first step and actually do it? Go to Bethel. Don't just talk about it. Do it. So tonight, just remind you some things about Bethel. It's a great place. And it would do us all well to get close to God and to go back to Bethel. Let's pray together. May we, Lord, thank you again for the Bible tonight. I pray that something that was said from your word would be a blessing to these thy people. Lord, you said your word would not return void. And I pray that if there be anybody here today, Lord God, that knows they need to go back and to get closer with you again, to walk with you again. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to make that step, not just talk about it, not just think about it, but actually do it. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, might you save them, Lord God. You're a wonderful Savior to us, and thank you for your love. I pray that you bless the invitation now. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.